Put the trophies up, it's another episode. I told you long time ago, we about to explode. Listen, it's something mean, supposed to be leave, but I told that beast I'm awesome and I down it be amazing. But enough about me, cause we all played the part to make it this far. But honestly, when it wasn't for the fans, it would've been a long time ago. Bio, born on SG, grew up on CDP. Any mood, I didn't got around, we call it PG. Rated M, I don't blame much for the violence in your household. Be home.
Trophy Whore. Hello everybody and welcome to Trophy Whore. This is episode 167. I'm your host with the most, Tricky Mick, alongside with me, with his brand new recording setup, I yield to no one.
Hey, I heard a cool video game joke. You guys have probably already heard it, though.
You have me in anticipation since you put this on Twitter. Go ahead.
Okay. So I went and saw a Beatles tribute band Friday night and stopped and got some ice cream on the way back, and I had all my Nintendo.
Did you take a Yellow Submarine there?
No, I didn't take a Yellow Submarine there, but I did get a little help from my friends. So I had my Nintendo hat on, and the waitress was like all kinds of stoked that I had a Nintendo hat on. She's like, oh, I heard this really good joke the other day. You probably heard it. And I'm like, all right, lay it on me. What kind of pants does Mario wear?
I have no idea.
You have no idea? Okay, Mario wears denim.
Wah, wah, wah.
Oh!
That was
it killed everywhere else.
That was I like that. Like I don't like really laugh like outwardly too much, like really really loudly too much. It's kind of more of an inner appreciation for jokes. But that was far better than any joke Tricky Mix ever told. So I don't know why he's giving us the little wham.
No,
I like that. That was good. It was clever.
That was good. That was clever. So
I did have an opening for myself this week, thinking you were gonna host Yield. So I had a setup for me, but now we have to wait until next week when Donnie hosts to use it. So
hopefully it'll make sense.
Yeah, you screwed up the whole thing here.
Yeah. Well, my bad. I really thought it was Alex or Donnie's turn to host.
Alright, speaking of Alex, say hi.
Hi. And I just want to say that it's a good thing I'm not hosting this week because I'm just sitting here chilling, killing. Some claptraps. Some renegade claptraps.
Are you killing like a villain on penicillin with Bob Dylan?
I don't know about the penicillin part. That makes me sound kind of dirty. I don't think I can even joke about that. Like a villain, yeah? Yeah? I'm massacring some little robots, so.
What about Bob Dylan?
I'm not a big Doors fan. Or is...
God!
Hold on.
No.
That is so sane in the show.
Hold on. Who was the singer of the Doors? I knew that was wrong like 2 seconds after it came out.
Jim Morrison.
Not even close. No. I'm not a Bob Dylan fan, so there you go.
What about his son? Do you like the Wallflowers?
They had two good hits.
They had one hit.
I mean, their name is cool, but...
Their second song wasn't bad.
Their one hit was One Headlight.
I know, but I can't remember the name of the other song, but it wasn't bad.
That makes it not a hit.
Well.
If you can't readily think of it, it did not leave an impact on your life, therefore it's not a hit.
No, just One Headlight.
But I will tell you who's kicking up the charts lately that I'm very proud of, and that's Weird Al. He's come up with some good ones lately.
Pope and Hayfling were telling me when we recorded Game Tour that his new album is just absolutely outstanding.
His video for Word Crimes, which is a parody of Blurred Lines.
Okay.
Absolutely funny. I thought about putting it into our writers' room on Skype to let our writers know, listen, this is the rules you have to follow.
So you're saying I need to YouTube some Weird Al videos?
Oh, absolutely.
So when was the last album that was Running with Scissors the last Weird Al album that came out?
I don't know, but he's on
I
a path.
That album.
As I'm Googling this right now, his vow right now is he's doing 8 videos in 8 days.
You know, I kind of like that because generally you'll have like one video or one single that plays for like months and you get fucking sick of it. But this way, I like that. It keeps things fresh, more variety.
Well,
and I will say that the last Weird Al, like I've always liked Weird Al. I think the one that I I really got into the one, I think fifth grade, I bought the one that had Amish Paradise on it. I can't remember what the name of that album was, but my favorite song off that album was The Night Santa Went Crazy.
The Night Santa Went Crazy.
Yep. But it was the one with...
Oh, that's a good one.
That was the one with Amish Paradise on it, too. And Don't Go Making Phony Calls.
Phony Calls. All right, let's see. His music career. Let's see. I can't believe I'm Googling Weird Al right now.
Running with Scissors was pretty good because that was the one that had the Star Wars, the saga song with that done to American Pie.
And there was also another Grapefruit Riot.
Grapefruit Riot.
Yeah, off it was parodying Boots Get Riot.
Okay, discography. Here we go. He Running with Scissors was released in 1999. Since then, he has released four albums: Poodle Hat in 2003. Straight Outta Linwood in 2006, Apocalypse in 2011, and Mandatory Fun, which is his new one, released this year.
Oh, well, good for Weird Al.
And he started in 1983. I think the album that you're talking about with, I might be a little too old. Bad Hair Day was in 1996. Alapalooza was in 93. Off the Deep End was 92. Even Worse was 88. Polka Party was 86. Dare to Be Stupid was 85. And Weird Al Yankovic, self-titled, was in 83.
Yeah. I've... Weird Al's a talented dude. He's funny.
He is. Although I gotta say, his new one, First World Problems, the new song wasn't that funny.
But I like the attempt at First World. I mean... I like that because we bitch about so much insignificant shit when compared to like problems around the world. I like that he took a stab at it.
No, and while Yield is taking a drink from his 40, why don't you give us your updated trophy counts?
I
said Yield, but go ahead, Alex.
Well, you said he was drinking from his 40.
No, me too.
Yeah, Yield was drinking his 40, so I said give us his updated trophy count he takes another drink from his 40.
No, I thought that you meant that. Since he's being...
You wanted Alex to go since I'm getting drunk.
Yeah, since he's occupied.
Either way... Okay, Alex, go ahead.
Well, now I don't want to. I don't feel needed anymore.
Fine, I'll go, because I'm done now. I am a level 18, trophy count of 30-30, and a platinum count of 33, hopefully 34 by next week.
You know, you keep saying that.
I do,
You said 34. What's 35 supposed to be?
35 will probably be Beyond.
Beyond!
Beyond murdered souls.
By the way, I want to give a shout out to Greg Miller, who was supposed to be on this week's show, but figured out he was supposed to be on an airplane, so he will not be on this week.
They got Wi-Fi. Airplanes.
Has he heard our show?
Yes, he has.
Okay, so we're not getting sued.
No.
Okay.
And you might want to back up a little bit from the microphone because you're getting a little distorted.
How's this?
That's horrible.
Okay.
Again, listeners, we're on video, so we can actually see each other. So
we've made a habit of this getting on video thing when we podcast. I don't know if it's good or not yet.
I don't know.
I guess if Tricky ever walks around naked in this house, we'll know if it's bad.
Well, it you really have to worry about the goddess. But, you know, doing a video call with Alex isn't really that appealing because all you really see is the back of his head as he's staring at his TV as he's playing his PS3.
Look, I'm going to be honest. When I'm not hosting, I'm playing video games during the podcast. And clearly, I can respond quickly enough pause my game and respond quickly enough. I have played some games where I couldn't pause it, so I would kind of like react real quickly and talk as fast as I can and get back to the game.
Yes, well, I hope...
That's some talent, because I can't do that. I'll get too involved in the video game and forget what's going on.
I just hope when we do episode 200 as a video cast, you actually pay attention to the podcast and not play video games.
Well, I hope you're not expecting that. You can hope, but don't expect.
That depends on where we do 200 at. I mean, I don't know, I can have my Vita playing... What?
Don't
spoiler?
Don't give any spoilers out.
Oh, okay.
Alex,
And speaking of my trophy count, before Alex gets his trophy count.
Sure.
All I got to say is that, the Brain 76 was on a few episodes ago and was saying that was the one thing that he could be proud of that he was still ahead of me in was trophy count.
Uh-huh.
I'm 50 behind you.
50 behind Brain now?
Yep, I'm 50 behind him.
Oh, I'm gonna have to let the brain know. I'm gonna have to let the brain know.
Oh, I'll send him a PSA message and let him know. I'm 50 behind him.
It sounds like Hannah Montana time.
No. I still got a plethora of backlog to go through. I can catch him.
No, I'm talking about him.
Him? Maybe.
I'm thinking it's Hannah Montana and Terminator Salvation time.
So we do remember that, so since we're bringing up people who we're gunning for in the trophy counts, Jurassic Parkey, or Jace Parkey, we all know that he's trying to match Tricky's trophy count. He's playing back on the PS3. Did you see what he called you on the hashtag he made on Twitter?
Yes, I did, and I was going to call him out in our shout-outs, but I guess I'll do that now.
What was the hashtag?
I have to bring it up right now. Hold on one second.
I believe it was Tricky's a trophy chump.
I think it's just Tricky's a chump.
It was they were having a conversation, and he said that he's not going to have Hannah Montana on his PSN account. And I guess Yield replied to him in some form, and he said, "Yield's one of the good four horsemen, unlike that dick dastardly Tricky Mick."
You can't hate a man. You can't hate a man that speaks the truth.
I don't know what dick dastardly means in relation to me, but Alex, give you a trophy count.
So my trophy count is 4,285. I'm actually at 95%. So I'm 5% away from level 23 right now, level 22. But I'm about ready to move on up. And
on up to the east side.
Well, I'm already on the east side, but I can move to a nicer place on the east side, I guess.
Aren't you kind of in the Midwest?
We're technically the Midwest, but I mean it's right between the Midwest. I mean, I consider like once you get to Missouri and Kansas, like I think that's the Midwest. Iowa, I mean, Kentucky.
Is that your Mason-Dixon line?
Yeah,
the Mississippi River would be more like that.
Yeah. My personal Mason-Dixon line there, Tricky.
Yes, your personal Mason-Dixon line.
No, I mean we're considered the Midwest, but like we're right in the middle of Kentucky. We're in northern Kentucky. We're in the middle. So like I think of us somewhere between the east and the. I mean, we can't say we're the East Coast because we're not on the coast. You know, we've got Virginia and half of Kentucky between us, but I mean, like, I don't really think we're the Midwest so much. I mean, we're 4 hours away from St. Louis, so I guess so, maybe, huh? Technically.
Yeah, we're considered the Midwest, too, and we're closer to Canada, so.
All right, and,
Hold on. I don't know if I, so, correction or add-on, I don't know if I, 48 platinums in 47 games, did I say that?
You almost forgot again.
I don't even think you said how many trophies you have.
No, total trophy count was the first thing I said, and my platinum count is 48 platinums in 47 games.
Okay. And I am level 26, total trophies of 5673 with a plat count of 38. Now, Alex, I know that Yield's been asked this question, but since you are over 4K, did you get your 4K TV?
No, I did not.
Did you contact Sony to see what was the delay?
Well, first of all, as we've talked about, like these, they're not retroactive, these TVs. They're not retroactive.
But didn't you cross 4K after the 4K TVs came out?
When did they come out?
I'd say a year ago.
I'd say so then.
No. Hi, Miss Yield.
Tricky says hi.
Look, I'm not going to contact Sony about a 4K TV because I guarantee that it would take hours and hours and hours, probably up for days actually, with Sony customer service trying to jump through hoops and cut through red tape. So I don't even want to deal with it.
And you'll probably get the foreign-speaking person that doesn't speak any English.
All right.
Or the English-speaking person who's a fucking asshole.
Think you'll come again.
Think something or I'll blow your head off.
Oh man, we Tricky calls out Donnie for being inappropriate, but good lord.
I didn't say anything, I just said, think you'll come again.
Yeah, that's not a stereotypical thing to say about Indian people, or in an Indian
person's voice.
This is
not the Indian library. These biceps are gonna blow your head off. Think you'll come again.
You know, this is an old joke that I heard, one of the blue collar guys say years ago. But, what do you think about it? Like, you walk into a 7-Eleven here, you got all these, European people.
Apu and a Habib.
You got all them working in our 7-Elevens. Do you think if we go over there, they have Americans working in their 7-Elevens?
Wait, no, that's not really a joke. That's a question.
Never mind.
Once again, you killed the funny.
Alex, since you are currently playing something, why don't you tell us what you have been playing all week?
So, I just got WWE Network, so I've been kind of going through some old pay-per-views, so I haven't been spending so much time in the PlayStation 3, also because I've been playing Mad Mockets Underdome, the DLC for the first Borderlands, and that DLC sucks. So I've been dreading actually going through all the big tournaments. Obviously, I want to push for the 100%. I know Yield's gunning for the 100%, at least, he said, at least the original Borderlands. So I'm going for that now. I finished the Moxie DLC. I've moved on to Claptrap's Robot Revolution. I'm happier with that DLC.
That was a good one.
I got through, I actually found a glitch where you can skip rounds. So you only have to do 10 rounds in the larger tournaments.
Save it for trophies and tips.
All right. We'll save it for trophies and tips. But just basically more Borderlands DLC because apparently it takes 2 years to beat everything that came with the first Borderlands.
Alright.
I feel like I came out of the womb playing this fucking Borderlands and I'm just now getting to the end of it.
Alright, is that all you've been playing, Alex?
Yes.
Alright, Yield?
Except for Badass, which I play every day. Yeah.
Boom. Wah.
Let's see, I've been playing,
Fuck you, Tricky.
My usual pocket train.
I'm booked up for the week. How about next week?
What's the other one? Plundernauts. Didn't play any Beyond Two Souls this week.
Beyond!
I did get back into Uncharted Golden Abyss. I knocked out all my bounties. And now I'm in chapter 16 of my crushing playthrough. And that's all I need for my platinum. And I have yet to update the game. So I gotta
give you credit with the bounties. That's the most frustrating part of that game for me.
When I sat down, I went, you know, I used PlayStationTrophies.org's kind of guide, and they said, you know, go here and farm it. And that's kind of what I did, and it only took me about an hour per bounty to finish getting what I hadn't got yet.
Well, I'll have to look it up then.
So that was pretty cool. It does get a little monotonous sometimes, especially when you get down to the one bounty you need left and you go through the same chapter about 5 times. Like, come on.
Well, the term farming in video game denotes monotony and just shitty trying to push through for some dumb, shiny online virtual collectible.
So I've been doing that and then, I was over at the Brain's house last night and I watched him play a lot of, Black Flag. So I'm really looking forward to when I finally get around to either playing out on the PS3 or picking it up when I finally get my PS4 and killing me some bricks.
Yeah. Tricky, you've played that. Is that one of those games that where it looks decidedly better on the PlayStation 4?
What, AC4?
Yes.
Yeah, Black Flag.
Yeah, I have it for the PS3 and the PS4. I've never played it on the PS3 because I bought it. It was one of those games, if you guys remember when the PS4 was launching, where if you bought the...
You bought it for the 3, you could upgrade for like $10.
Right. So I got it for the PS3, thinking that, you know what, if I buy it for the 3, at least I can game share with Donnie, and Donnie could play it. So I did that, and then Donnie never... game shared with me. He went out and got it himself. But I honestly don't know. So I can't give a proper answer to that.
I know the Brain last night was saying something about he thought about maybe renting a PS4 copy just to see if there was a huge difference. But I don't know. I figured by the time I pick up my 4, I might be able to pick up Black Flag on the cheap.
Well, I mean, we could always share my profile with you and you could play the PS4.
I mean,
or we could do that.
Yeah.
But just from watching him play Black Flag, and I've seen my nephew play it as well. The whale hunting and the shark hunting seems is really cool. But just the random act of, you know, you sail from one side of the map to the other side of the map, and in the process, you totally get sidetracked by sinking ships.
Yeah, you see,
I'm just like,
you know, the thing
oh,
is,
wow.
the pirate thing, the pirate thing to me actually got annoying. because it seemed like it was the same thing over and over and over again. There was no, there was not enough variety in it. Because it was, you line up the ship, then, you know, once they get to a certain port, you go over, you sail over to them, you basically tie the two ships together, you go over, and then you can either save the ship and put it into your fleet, take over the crew, or sink it, or whatnot. To me, there was not enough variety in the fights. At least in the normal fights, there was a little bit of variety, because, you know, you had this guy come in, you had this guy on the roof. It was just basically the same old shit, and the harder the enemy ship was, the more, you know, strategic you had to be, but it was very simple just to exploit it and just, okay, well, they're going to shoot off a mortar now. Okay, let me speed up the ship for 3 seconds, go back to normal speed, and the mortar's going to completely miss me.
Okay, I can see that. But I also really enjoyed, and I kind of got a kick out of it, is they sing pirate shanties.
Yes, they do.
So I was getting a kick. He's sailing around the world, and they're all singing pirate shanties. And I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what I've been playing. All week I have been playing Sniper Elite 3. It's, to me, it's an indefinite improvement. I'm glad I picked it up. I'm two missions away from beating the game, but I realized that I'm going to have to go back and play the game at least one more time, because you have to beat it on authentic level. And let me tell you, I played the first level just to see how authentic was. I didn't die playing the game. What happened was I couldn't hit a fucking broadside of a barn in that.
Well, you got to allow for the wind and the drop of the bullet.
Well, I understand all that, but on the same token, there's not enough. Like, okay, I'm not going to spoil the game because it's right in the beginning. There's a point where you have to take out two people, and they're fairly close. So the wind and
one bullet, two kills.
Well, no. There's two different people, and they're close enough where the wind really doesn't come into a factor. So they're easy kills.
Okay.
Then, you go to a certain part and you have to find the sniper. That shot alone took me 50 shots to hit him. And when I finally did hit him, I was aiming off to the top right of him and I hit his kneecap.
Oh, wow. That's what I'm afraid. When I go back through to do my final playthrough of Sniper Elite 2, that authentic is going to take me an incredibly long time.
And,
nice.
Listeners, Yield is seeing the PG sweater for the first time.
You know, before we...
What's it say? Did it say Trophy Horrors on the back?
No, it just says Proven Gamer. That's the only thing it says.
Ah, okay. That's still cool, though.
Now, hold on. Before we move on, I want to ask Tricky, tell the listeners what made you decide to play, how you decided to play Sniper Elite, because you were thinking about taking it back before you opened it.
I don't remember the reason. What was the reason?
Me and Tina.
Well, I understand that the goddess was having the conversation. Oh, I flipped a coin.
No, you had us name the number.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I had Alex pick a number. And the goddess had to pick a number, and if she was either one higher or one lower, or exact, I had to keep the game and open it.
And I picked 8, and goddess got exactly 8, too.
She picked 8, too. So
Tricky initially didn't even want to open it.
You didn't want to open it. Did you buy the regular edition, or did you buy the special edition with all the extra cards and dog tag and all that other gizmo?
No, I got the special. I got the normal edition. The reason I didn't want to open it is because of the fact that I'm moving towards the old digital side. So I wanted to get it digitally.
Why you gotta be like that? What's wrong with having a nice hard, you know, something, a disc to put in your system?
It's nothing wrong with it. It's just, it's one of those things, you can't see it, but behind me.
You're going the Ralph Bot route of you don't want to get up, walk over, and
I don't know if you can see it, Yield, but
no, I see a wall. I see a wall with a picture behind you that you're pointing behind you, going right back there.
That is my windowsill. And it is filled with games and movies. and I'm running out of room to put stuff. So that's why I'm going all digital. But
see, if your hard drive fries, there goes everything. But you got re-download.
Yeah, but you can re-download. I'm more with Tricky Mick where it used to be, I'm 100% digital in music now. I have no CDs. I got rid of them all after I moved because I just don't like the clutter. I don't like to have to move that stuff. My CD or my movies, I do have quite a few movies, but with Netflix, I've started to buy fewer and fewer movies. And then with the video games, like I was half and half, but now I'd say I'm probably more like 75-25 in favor of downloadables. I just don't buy retail games anymore. I mean, granted, I do use PlayStation Plus a lot, but I don't buy a lot of retail games anymore. And I like not having, because, you know, I went through my closet and I've got all these old video game systems that I never play, and it's kind of like, it's nice to have them around, but I mean, if you're not playing the games anymore, if you're just continually buying or re-downloading new games, I'm at an age now where I don't like to have all that stuff around anymore. I kind of like to be minimalist a little bit. And not everybody's that way, which I understand, but.
And also, when the time comes that you guys get your PS4s, if you wanted to play, you know, Ground Zeroes, or you wanted to play Second Son, or you wanted to play Black Flag, you can say, hey, Tricky, let me get your account real quick. You can try out the game to know if you want to buy it, rather than me mail you guys a disc. So.
Yeah, that's true, too.
All right, well, going back to the Sniper Lee story, the reason I was having a problem with the Authentic is because right after you kill that guy that I shot in the knee, there's a truck that comes out. And in order to kill the truck, you have to hit the gas tank.
Yeah.
Now, the truck is about half the distance than the guy I shot in the kneecap.
Okay.
Obviously, the truck's on the ground. I'm taking shots at this truck. And there's no indication if you're missing high, left, low, what it is, because it doesn't even show you where the bullet hit. So you can't compensate for it.
Well, that sucks. It should at least be some kind of a ricochet or something where the bullet hits the ground.
Right. So it took me another 50 shots to get this truck, and that pissed me off. And then I started thinking, you know, when I get into the harder levels, as I, you know, because I've gotten farther in the game, there's a scene in the game, I think it's in the fifth mission, where you have to be, like, on point. You cannot miss a shot. And if I'm playing that on Authentic, and I have no way to determine if I'm hitting high, am I hitting low, you know, it's really going to piss me off. Now, you shout out to Deadly Kaiser, who's already gotten the platinum in the game, of course. I'm going to have to get with him to see, you know, how he managed to get through
it. Yeah. Some shooting tips.
Yeah, it's just to give me an idea of how, you know, how to compensate for it.
You know, but after all the smack you've talked about Deadly Kaiser on the show, I don't know why he'd want to help you.
Well, you actually there's actually a trophy in Sniper Elite where you have to complete the game in co-op mode. You don't have to be the same person. You can do the missions out of order. You just have to complete all 8 missions with a co-op partner. I actually did one with Deadly Kaiser, and I'm going to talk some smack right now. He actually died more times than I did, but he also shot a lot more people than I did.
I was going to say, who was the shot? So you both were shooters, one wasn't a shooter, one was a spotter?
Well, there is that mode in the game, but basically when you're doing the campaign, you can both tag people, you can both shoot people, and it just seemed like as I brought up my scope to take down a guy, just before I'm about to pull the trigger, I see the guy's head get blown off. And I actually said to Deadly, I was like, yo, can I get at least one kill here? He was just, it happened like 5 people in a row. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to stop and just let you shoot. I'll just run behind you and be your medic.
You just should shoot the guy at the other end of the map instead of the guy closest.
All right, well, we're deep into the show already. We haven't even gotten to our topics yet.
That every week, every single week, because we like to bullshit. We like to shoot the breeze.
I do like the conversations, I have to admit. I do like the conversations, but...
I've said it before, and I'll say it again, you know, people probably don't look most forward on Trophy Horrors. When people listen, they probably don't look most forward to us discussing these gaming news that they've heard probably somewhere else or read somewhere else. I mean, they may get some, obviously they enjoy it some and they like to get our take on it, but it's the bullshit. Like the us just kind of gabbing away like some schoolgirls, like just all the gossip and just, you know, talking about our favorite things and, you know, just life in general. I think that's what people come here for.
I hate you.
Cause they like us. They like our personalities.
With all that being said, screw what the listeners want. We're going to talk about news.
I never said the listeners didn't. Okay. I never said the listeners didn't want news. I just said they like us all around.
Our first topic is there is two specially designed PS4s coming to the market. One is a white PS4 with the Destiny logo, and the other one is a black PS4 coming with the Last of Us image on the hard drive cover.
Can we get a zebra PS4?
I don't know.
Ooh, that would be cool. You know, I'm sure one of those graphic companies can do that for you.
Currently, both of these special edition PlayStation 4 consoles are only coming to Japan. This is the third special edition. Of course, last week we talked about the Frozen themed bundle.
Oh, they can have that one.
But there is no word on when these are going to be coming west.
Probably won't see them.
You know what would be awesome? Like, if we get to the point where you can download a theme or a skin off the PlayStation Store and, like, your PlayStation, the top of your PlayStation morphs to adhere to that theme.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That's far away technology. Ever perpetually far away, like flying cars. But, or at least no, mass market flying cars. By now.
All right, the next thing we have, if anybody's football fans, which I know Yield is a big football fan. Alex,
how
are you?
Go Packers.
Fuck the Packers.
Fuck you.
Fuck Aaron Rodgers up his ass.
Who day?
I bet, you know what? I bet if you gave the Packers some ice skates and a stick, they could beat the New York Rangers in a hockey game. Because apparently anyone can beat the New York Rangers. Even the LA Kings.
Apparently Yield likes that.
Aaron Rodgers makes the pass. Shit scores!
NFL's Sunday DirecTV's Sunday Ticket is coming to the PlayStation 3, returning to the PS3, and it also will be coming to the Xbox and the PlayStation 4 in a way that does not require a satellite subscription. As before with the NFL Sunday Ticket, you, in order to use it on the PS3, you had to, one, subscribe to DirecTV, two, purchase it directly from the PlayStation Network, and three, buy an Amazon exclusive version of Madden 25 that included the subscription. Now, the way you qualified for it before always changed, but apparently now is going to be coming to the three systems. You do not need DirecTV, and you will be able to pick it up for the price of $240. You will get access to every single.
God.
You will get access to every single NFL game, even out of market games, real time stats, and all the NFL goodness that you come to expect. Although, you will not be getting NFL Red Zone, which is a channel that a lot of people want.
I got a little complaint about that. I've always heard that out of market games is not true. That if you still live in the blackout zone, you can't get it. You're blacked out.
Well, with the Sunday Ticket, see, you're right, but you're also wrong. And this is the way it works. With NFL Sunday Ticket, what they do is, I think there's 30 NFL teams?
Yes.
Okay. Let's say, hypothetically, Cincinnati is playing the Giants.
Ew.
If you wanted to watch the game, you would turn on the Cincinnati channel, you yield. And it would be blacked out for you because it would be on TV. But if you really yes. wanted to watch the game, you watch the Giants channel, and therefore it's not blacked out for you no more.
Ah, see, I've been misled then. I've always been told if it's blacked out, you still can't get it.
No, if it's blacked, if your teams in your area, if it's being televised, is blacked out. But if you could always go listen or watch to the other teams. The only thing the Cincinnati channel, obviously, their commentators are going to be pro-Cincinnati, where the Giants channel is going to be pro-Giants. But with that being said...
Yeah, I understand. It doesn't matter. Cincinnati normally is doing bad anyway, so I just want to watch the game.
Okay, now this, the $240 does not allow you to stream it on anything else, but for $40 more, you can stream it on your computer, your phone, and your tablet. And like I said, it does not include NFL Red Zone, which is, according to the article, a major reason why some subscribe. But there is a max package for $330 that allows you to stream on any device, which includes Red Zone, and the option is there if you want it. Now,
so $330 gets you everything.
Right, and able to stream on everything.
And that's $330 a year.
A year, but it's basically $330 for the football season.
A season.
Right.
Yeah, that's way too much money. Even if you, if you think about it, you break it down per team, per week, it's probably a good deal, but, that's just $330 for 16 weeks of football, 18 weeks of football.
Yeah, cause I think they stop when they hit the playoffs, don't they?
Probably because the playoffs they put on network TV, so.
Right.
Just way too much money. And more than likely, if your team's sucking enough that they're not making it on regular TV, you have no problem watching a different team play.
All right. Well, speaking of too much money, I think Alex is going to have some comments on this one. This is why I put this in the agenda. Vivendi considered firing Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick over the sale of Activision stock.
They should have.
In emails regarding the purchase of the stocks, Activision controlling shareholders, several members of Vivendi leadership discussed firing Kotick. The complaints arose from accusations that the CEO threatened to quit if he wasn't allowed to lead a group that would purchase 2.34 billion of Vivendi Activision's shares.
Billion?
Which I'm assuming, do they have that many shares? Good lord. Which I'm assuming would make him the majority stakeholder.
I think so. I think that actually got Activision out from under. Okay. Let me.
It does because they were wondering who would fire him then.
Yeah, it says Kotick wasn't fired and the deal he led totaled $8.2 billion worth of sales, left him in control of the Call of Duty and Skylanders publisher, which is, of course, Activision. The emails.
Well, then you can guarantee that that's going to get run to ground more than what it is.
That dude had a good thing going. Like, I've never liked Bobby Kotick. In fact, I don't think they're still up at Sarcastic Gamer, but I used to rail against him when I used to write for them, especially because, like, when they dropped Ghostbusters and Brutal Legend, like, drop the publishing rights, I got hot. And, like, Bobby Kotick made all these asshole comments. And the dude just seemed like he was out for money. And I can understand, you know, you want to make money, but, you know, if you're in the video game industry, as a publisher even, like, you're clearly, I would hope that you're in it for love of video games and love of what you create, entertainment or electronic entertainment. So that guy's never sat well with me. He seems like just a snake, just a greedy son of a bitch. I'll say it. So that's the kind of the vibe I always gotten from him. So quite frankly, you know, him getting his comeuppance like that, I would smile, be like, you know what? Good. Finally. It's about fucking time. I will say though, I mean, they had a really good thing going with Activision. They had some really good studios like Raven. You know, they had Call of Duty was going really well. But then, then they got Blizzard. So like they had World of Warcraft money and, you know, Diablo and StarCraft. But all of a sudden, you know, Skylanders was a big hit for them, but it seems like all of a sudden they don't really have a whole lot left. Like, they shuttered a bunch of studios. The people who made Blur, I cannot remember for the life of me who made Blur, but they shuttered them. And it seems like now, like, they, for the longest time, they've been living off of Skylanders, Call of Duty, and whatever Blizzard's been making. And I've got no interest in
World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I've got no interest in any of that. So to me, like, the last Activision game I bought was Guitar Hero 3. And we all know how long ago that was. So quite frankly, they are a video game company that's not making video games that I care about. So they've been off my radar, and it just seems like, yes, over the years, they haven't innovated on anything. They're just continuing to beat the same drum. Now, Skylanders, as I said, that was a bit of innovation. Okay, so, all right, that's fine. But with everything else, they've just continued to beat the drum. I think Singularity was the last game that I was actually thinking about buying. Never did. But, I mean, they just don't seem, they just seem to have been just beating the same drum over the past, like, 5 or 10 years. I mean.
Okay.
Yeah, you're never going to get a good response. When you're talking about Bobby Kotick, you're never going to get a response because I just don't like the guy. I plain don't like the guy.
I agree. I don't like him. Now, that being said, I have bought some Activision games, but it wasn't necessarily because of... I bought the game because it kind of interests me, but it's few and far between. Bobby Kotick can go die in a Malaysian air... plane crash.
Hey.
What? Too soon?
Too soon.
Oh. Can he disappear over the Indian Ocean?
That's too soon, too.
Oh, okay.
And don't even think about going where I think you're going to go next.
Why? I wasn't going to go there.
That still hurts.
No, that's just... That's...
I mean, so, like...
That's too mean.
So, I mean, Tricky, like... Is there anything that Activision's put out recently that you are into? Because it just seems like they hit this high point when Call of Duty was riding, like, around, you know, Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, and then they put out Black Ops 2, and then, like, they kept hitting the Modern Warfare, and, like, they seem where they were on a high point, and they've gone downhill since. Like, I mean, how do you perceive the company and what they're putting out, their output?
I really couldn't give a fuck about Activision at all. I think Activision, more than what people would say, EA, I think Activision is hurting the business. I think they're flooding the market with games upon games upon games. And I honestly think the quality of their games has actually gone down because they don't take time to...
Do they help, Assassin's Creed series? Are they the ones that publish it?
No, that's Ubisoft.
That's Ubisoft.
Okay. Oh, then. So Ubisoft is their own thing, then they don't have somebody else.
No, Ubisoft is probably bigger than Activision. Like, they're huge.
Okay.
Activision also does a lot of licensed games. They did, like, the Kung Fu Panda games, and they used to do, like, the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games. So they did some good licensed games, but they also did, I think, was it the Wolverine game? Was that Activision? They do a lot of licensed games, a lot of comic book games, a lot of which aren't very good. So, again, at Tricky's point of flooding the market with a bunch of crap.
And I think it hurts the market in itself because, you know...
Well, that's what caused the video game crash back in the 80s was them flooding the market with a bunch of licensed crap.
So, I mean, that's my personal opinion about Activision in itself. So...
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to see me crying any... You're not going to see me crying any tears for Bobby Kotick anytime soon.
Well, I didn't put this in here for you to cry tears for him. I just think it's pretty interesting that, you know, we find out. I mean, this news only came to light because they're being sued inside of a Delaware courtroom in which, because they said these emails, showed up in a shareholders, shareholders June court filing. And in the trial last month, the Delaware judge ruled that Kotick and current Activision chairman Brian Kelly must face charges that they improperly benefited from the deal. So, if they weren't, basically what they did was illegal. And Vivendi wanted to fire them. I don't know because if it was illegal or whatnot, but to find out that we're only finding out that what he did, I mean, we reported this story that he bought these shares a good year ago, 2 years ago. I think before both you guys were on the show.
And, really? No, I've been on the show longer than that, I think.
Well, yeah. I don't remember exactly what episode you came on, or better yet, I don't remember exactly what episode we were talking about this deal going down where he was buying all these shares. But this is the first time that I'm hearing that he's facing charges that he improperly benefited from the deal. So
insider trading, fire him!
Well, I mean, yeah, because for insider trading, you would have to use knowledge that's not, you would have to use esoteric knowledge that necessarily isn't available to the public in order to make transitions on the stock market. So,
All right.
I mean, the insider trading came to my mind, but I wasn't sure if it was applicable in this case. But I mean, clearly the dude did some dirty shit for money.
Who knows?
So, yeah. So who knows what he did? But if they're taking him to court over it in Delaware, then you know, hopefully justice is served. That's all I'll say.
And they get a guy in there who can actually run the company.
All right. You know, a lot of people were talking about, you know, when games went digital, that companies like GameStop would basically go out of business because they would be out of business. But an interesting article popped up on IGN saying that how digital sales are making GameStop stronger. He goes in part, I don't want to read this whole article, but he basically says, more and more developers and publishers are moving to online distribution models, but GameStop, the world's most successful video game retailer, is actually benefiting from the shift. This is thanks in part to the fact that most customers purchase digital content in physical stores. This can be accomplished through a variety of methods, such as currency cards or purchasing DLC season passes at GameStop's front desk. Last year, more than 724 million of GameStop sales were from digital content. For the first quarter of 2014 fiscal year, the retail's digital revenue grew 9.5% year over year because of PSN and XBLA currency cards.
Do you want to know a reason that's probably true? Well, I mean, it's obviously true, but do you want to know a reason probably behind that?
Well, I have my own theory, and I feel like you're about to say exactly what I'm about to say, but I'll let you go ahead.
So obviously, when the PlayStation security or the PlayStation network went down, and people's like credit card information or like a whole bunch of personal information got out, and we was out there, and everyone was worried about it, and they had to do this the free year of I can't remember exactly what it was called, but they gave a free year of security or
right
cybercrime protection to everyone. Yeah, credit check to everyone who was affected. You know, I've put my credit card info back on the PlayStation Network. You know, I figured by now, you know, nothing happened on my card, and obviously I've got an electronic bank statement that I can look at. So if there's any false charges, I can report them, and you know, my credit union will back me, so I really don't worry about it so much. But I can understand the fear of not wanting to put your information or get away with putting as least information as possible on the internet, be it Facebook or like a LinkedIn or like, because you know, I mean, even on Facebook, you're told not to necessarily put like your address, don't put your birth date, you know, all that stuff on there. I mean, so I can understand if people don't want to put their credit card information on the PlayStation Network, because for maybe a good 6 months after that happened, I bought PlayStation cards and then just bought content that way. So I used my card at the store to buy a PlayStation card and then used the code on the PlayStation card to put money on my account.
Okay, well, I got a deeper issue than what you just said, because everything you just said I understand 100%. But here's where I'm going to throw the monkey wrench in here, and this is the part of the show that Yield like to say.
I don't want to be your monkey wrench.
This is where Yield would say I'm playing devil's advocate here. They're saying that GameStop's making money off these season passes. I've seen these cards inside yes. GameStop. They're $19.99 for the season pass to, you know, whatever game you want to say. But it's $19.99 on the PlayStation Store. So one of two things is happening here. Either A, we're being overcharged on the PlayStation Network, which is probably the right answer. Or B, developers and publishers are taking a hit by selling it in GameStop because GameStop has to be making some kind of profit because they're not just going to sell the cards at even money. Which, if you think about it, if somebody goes in and pays $20 for a PSN card, Sony's definitely taking a hit, because if I bought a PSN card for $20, I get $20 off their store.
I mean, it's not like I work in Whole Foods with perishable goods, so like, but with GameStop and cards, little cards, they're not perishable items. So if they sell them, it's not like they bring any in and they're going to lose money by throwing some out. I mean, they're always going to be there. So even if they sell them, as long as they're selling other things for a profit, they don't necessarily have to sell those cards for a profit.
Well, that and with the online passes and the DLC, if you've ever worked retail, and I'm sure Alex understands, your bosses always want you to upsell. So sure, you're buying this, but don't you also want this? So I'm sure that helps out as well, especially when you get little Timmy in there.
Well, I understand that, but they're boasting that they have made, let me go back up in the article here. They're boasting that they have made $724 million just from digital content. So obviously GameStop is making money off of selling this digital content. So where's that money coming from? Is it coming from Sony taking a hit or Microsoft taking a hit? Or is it that GameStop's able to sell it because realistically Sony and Microsoft know that they don't need to sell the season passes for $20. They can sell it for $5 and they just pass that savings over to GameStop. But here's also...
Well, I mean, you also have to cut in the developers who create the content that covers that's inside the season pass. So, I mean, and the season passes, like, there's not like there's a set universal price for them all. They're all different.
Well, also think about this. I mean, a lot of, you know, we hear that, you know, companies like GameStop hurt the business because developers and publishers, they're not making money off of used game sales. For somebody to turn around and say, you know what? We don't like GameStop for what they do, but we're still going to cut them in on our digital side of the market. That's a little fishy to me. Because wouldn't you want to push GameStop out of business so you can start making your money?
No, because quite frankly, how are they going to sell consoles?
Best Buy.
Okay,
Amazon.
But okay, I mean, yes, those companies have, they have other departments like, you know, Best Buy has TVs and CDs and movies and,
right.
Like washers and dryers. So those are, they have other segments of their business. But why are they going to keep anything in there that's just losing money? I mean, if they're not making money off any consoles and they can't sell games, why the hell are they going to keep it in there? No one's going to keep that in there. Because it's still, even if they're making money off other things, it's still hurting their business.
But GameStop's making their money off of used games. They're not making their money off of selling new consoles, new games. They make their money off of used games. They take that $60 game that you just bought, decide to give you $25 to return it, then put back on the shelf for $55. They're making $30 profit off that game that they don't have to share with anybody else.
Yes, but Sony needs the retailers to sell their consoles.
They have enough retailers out there. You have Kmart, you have Best Buy, you have Walmart, have Amazon, Newegg. They could all sell your product and not sell used games. And every time they make a sale, Sony makes that profit. Or the developer makes that profit.
The way you position it, you're looking at it as this only affects GameStop, and yes, it may affect them the most because they're a specialty games retailer, but it would affect all of those stores. I mean, they're not going to sell video game consoles at a loss. I mean, if we're going to an all digital future, which may not, it's not going to happen today or tomorrow or next week, but if we're moving towards that and, you know, game retailer and retailers are selling just hardware, or, you know, people can go, you know, people aren't buying software at stores anymore. They're only buying online. I mean, if you've got a big segment of your retail business that's just in the red all the time, if you're not making money, if you're just losing money off of, you know, hardware, you're not going to sell any of that. You know, it's not like you're going to do a good service or goodwill to Sony or Microsoft and say, okay, well, we're losing money off this. We're losing money off of this, but we're still going to sell it for you so you guys can make money. But they need the retailers. And I think that, as I said, even though it hurts GameStop the most, it also would hurt, you know, Walmart and Best Buy because, you know, gaming's a big segment. It's a big piece of the retail pie, and people are, you know, companies are always looking to increase profits and to impress shareholders and to say, hey, look, this is how much we made. Well, if you're taking all that, and especially Walmart, which is long been said, or at least for the last 5 years, to be the biggest games retailer in the U.S., I mean, that's still a decent-sized chunk of their pie.
I agree, but to the point of, like I'm just saying, if they're going to sell their product, they don't need GameStop. They don't need Best Buy. They don't need these companies that are selling their used games to sell their product. anybody that wants a PlayStation knows how to go get it. Anybody that wants an Xbox, they know how to go get it. Wait. Whether it be eBay, whether it be Amazon or however force.
eBay is the worst place to buy a console because it's going to get upcharged like crazy.
But my point being is, let's say we sold Trophy Horse. Hold on. We sold this podcast. If somebody was selling our show and not cutting this on a profit.
$1 billion.
If somebody was selling our show and we were not making a profit, our goal would to be to put them out of business so we make the money. That's the point. You don't support a company that in the bottom line is hurting you. Amazon is not selling used games. Best Buy, I think they're selling used games. But that's not their market. They got into that market to get a piece of the GameStop piece.
Tricky, you know, you mentioned that, you know,
Walmart's
even into it.
Meijer's into it.
You know, Tricky, you mentioned that eBay and Amazon, people can go buy their PlayStations there. What about people that don't use the internet? I have a friend who doesn't have the internet. Like, how are they going to buy their console that way?
I understand that. And I'm not saying, hold on, let me be clear. I'm not saying that all digital is the way to go. I'm not saying that we should stop selling physical media. I'm simply saying that if that's the way the market's heading, because the market, the developers, the publishers, they feel they need to sell their stuff digitally, so they're making the most profit off of it, then that's what they need to do. They don't need to turn around and say, you know what, GameStop? You have supported us, but ultimately you selling all these used games is hurting us, so we're going to go all digital and then turn around and go, you know what, GameStop? Okay, you know what? We're going all digital, so instead of sending you a disc, we're going to send you a card with a code on it so people can download it from us. And that to me is being a hypocrite. It's saying we don't want you because we're going all digital, but on the same token, here's a card so you can still sell our game.
Because again, they do that, they keep the good relationship with the retailers because they have to have them sell their hardware.
Alright, Yield, you're a little quiet here.
I am, because to me, this whole argument is mute, because I understand the way the developers are screaming about how GameStop turns around and sells their games and makes a huge profit. And I will say this until I'm blue in the face. They already got their money from the first time it got sold. So it would be like Ford or Chevy going, every time you resell your car, we want a piece of that sale.
But they actually got involved in that.
You've already bought that game in hand.
But companies like Ford and Chevy and Dodge, they sell used cars on their lots. They take the trade-ins. They're making that profit. They're selling their old cars. You know, I'm not talking about the mom and pop, car lots. I'm talking about but the thing is they got into the market. A company like Naughty Dog, a company like Ubisoft or Activision, they don't have the ability to turn around and pop up a store, 300 stores nationwide to sell their old copies of their old games. It's just not feasible to do. Companies like Chevy and Ford and Dodge, they can afford to sell their old cars because of the fact that they can put them on the lot. They're already selling their product face-to-face. Chevy is not turning to a third-party retailer to say, hey, sell our cars. They're out there with their own car lots selling their cars. The situation is different.
Okay. I still think you've already bought it, so if you decide to sell it to somebody else or sell it back to the store to sell to somebody else, that's your fault. I mean, if you take it to GameStop knowing full well they're going to take your game and basically double the money that they gave you, that's your fault for giving it to them.
But how many gamers do you really think about, that you really think go through that thought process, realistically?
Oh, they don't. I'm done with this game. I've gotten all the achievements. I've flattened them. I'm done with it. Here we go.
Yeah, because what they look at is like, okay, I bought Sniper Elite 3. I go platinum the game. I bring it back to GameStop. I go, you know what? You're going to give me $25 for this? Okay, now take this $25 and put it towards Uncharted 4. Now I got Uncharted 4 for $25 cheaper.
Yeah. Well, no, but now GameStop is starting to get a little bit smarter. They will give you, they do run some deals where they give you, you know, a percentage more, or you trade it in towards this new, a pre-order for this new game, and we'll give you so much more money on top of your trade-in. That's, they're heading in the right direction, but every GameStop survey I take, that's the one thing I tell them every time around. You need to give us more money for the games we give back.
You know why they do give us, they'll have those deals with the card where they give you the power-up rewards card where they give you a percentage more for your, it's to keep you from going to other places to resell stuff. Because other places, yeah, like there's a place called Coconuts, here, DVD, CD, and video game store, where they would give you a certain amount of money, just cash, for your goods, but they'd give you store credit and it'd be about, like maybe, it'd be like maybe $8 or $10 more. They want you to give them that game so they can sell it to somebody else at near full price. So they're not really doing it out of the goodness of their hearts, they're doing it so they can get you to sell it to them.
And I agree with that. Alright, I think this is a hot topic, and I think it's one of those things that we could talk about for a while, but it's just best to move on right now.
I mean, yeah, because people have been talking about this topic for, what, 5 years, at least?
Yeah, at least. Let's get on to a topic that I'm actually happy that Donnie's not here to have. I love you, Donnie.
Are we talking about Metal Gear Rising, Revengeance?
No, we're talking about The Last of Us Remastered.
I thought he was going to say we were talking about Dragon Ball Z.
No, we don't talk about Dragon Ball unless Donnie's on the show. Cause, we don't have any Japanese DLC for the Japanese version of the game to discuss.
Gotcha.
I can see the half smile on your face.
That is an old Trevor joke.
It has been announced that The Last of Us has sold 7 million copies of the game.
Woo!
This is before. What? This is before any sales of the PlayStation 4 version.
7 million?
Now, it is also worth
noting. That might be a good game.
Now, it is also worth noting before I actually get into the meat of this topic, that the last update on Last of Us sales figures was back in March when it passed the 6 million mark. So, from March until July of this recording, they have sold 1 million more copies of the game. Coinciding with the relaunch of the game on the PlayStation 4, it was announced that more DLC will be coming to The Last of Us, and it will be cross-buy between the PS3 and PS4 consoles.
Yeah, but what kind of DLC was it?
Good news and bad news, depending on how you look at it. It is multiplayer-only DLC. No single-player DLC is confirmed for the game.
Oh, nobody cares.
So, with all that being said, our last mini topic of it is there are some people on the internet bitching and complaining. You know, surprise,
oh, man,
surprise.
Really? I thought that's what the internet was created for. Not to spread information, but to let people bitch about stupid shit.
Now, is this internet people or gaming internet people?
Gaming internet people.
Gamers are stupid.
Oh,
gamers are fucking stupid.
Yeah, those are the worst of all.
Lately, there has been a lot of gamers complaining about the price of The Last of Us Remastered, expressing that $50 for a remaster is too much money.
No.
Sound designer Robert Kreckel, I think I said his name. If I did, I'm sorry. If I said his name wrong, I'm sorry. Who now works at Sony Santa Monica, said that he tweeted out, people think $50 is too much for The Last of Us Remastered. A ton of work went into it, and it has all the DLC included. $50 is a steal, in my opinion. I mean, if you bought the PS3 version, it's $30. Then only buying the Left Behind DLC, you'll be spending $45. RoboMoto co-founder Josh Chu replied tongue-in-cheek, they didn't just push a, quote, make higher res textures and frame rate, end quote, button. And then Crackle came back to say, that's probably a lot more complicated than most want to think about it is. Would it be nice if it was possible, though? Now, $50 for a remaster. Alex, I know I can see you're dying to say something. $50 for the remaster. Too much money? Just enough money? Or would you rather see it, you know, how do you feel about it?
I don't think it's too much money, because obviously a lot of work went into it. So gamers are generally here's the problem. Gamers feel like they're entitled. They feel like that a lot of developers should just give them things. I don't think that it's too much money. If that much work went into it and they had to spend the money on like research and development and paying people, then yeah, $50 is fine. I'm cool with that. If you don't want to buy the game, you know what? You played the game before. Don't fucking buy it. Just don't go and complain and bitch on the internet about it. That's the most annoying thing ever. So, I mean, really, that's my big thing is that gamers feel they're entitled. And you know what? They set the price. They set a fair price at it. They set the price that they thought was fair. So I'm going to go with them. They know how much work went into it. So, you know, Last of Us came out last year. This is coming out, what, more than a year afterwards? So clearly they put a lot of work into it.
Yeah, it's coming out about a year to the day.
Yeah, and it's not like they've been pumping out episodes of DLC, so clearly a lot of more work. So if they're going to dedicate that much of their staff to that, I think it's a fair price. You know, I don't think that they're not charging like $200 for it. I mean, gamers will pay $500 for a special edition console, or they'll pay $500 or like $160 for a stupid special edition with a figurine, but yet they'll bitch about this. I mean, I'm sorry. Gamers feel like they're entitled. I'm just tired of hearing it. They give people a bad name. They just need to shut the fuck up.
Okay, I have to correct myself. It's not a year to the day. It's 13 months to the day. So it's a year and 1 month to the day. Yeah.
I mean, if Naughty Dog put the work in, pay them, support them, and stop bitching.
Okay, now this is where I'm gonna say my little piece. $50 for the remaster. I understand their point, because if you bought the game for the PS3, then you're gonna go buy the PS4 version of the game. I don't think it should be $50. But on the same token, nobody's twisted my arm to make me buy the game the second time. So if I want the game the second time, $50 is what I should pay. Now, it would be nice to say, listen, you bought the PS3 version of this game. You bought it at full price. We can see that. We'll give you for $10 or $15 or maybe even $20, we'll let you upgrade to the digital version of the game. I'd be okay with that too. But I don't expect them to do that. I want to play the game the second time. I'm going to buy the game the second time. I'm going to pay. And not to mention that they have already reduced the price from what it was originally listed at, because it was originally listed at $60. They've already reduced the price by $10 to $50.
Now, see, that's
so what more do you want?
Because when they came out and said it was going to be $60, it was like, that seems a little high for the fact that you're just making the game shinier. Because, I mean, I think Tomb Raider had already came out. It was a lower price point. And I forget what other games that they came out, and they were a lower price point because they were remakes. And then they come up with The Last of Us, and they immediately jump to the full price of the PS4 games. So $50, I think, is a fair price because it's not anything new.
But, I mean,
I have no problem with it.
They also will be selling, like, you know, we talked about Xbox 360 buyers who bought the PlayStation 4 who maybe didn't have a chance to play the PlayStation 3 version when it came out on the PlayStation 3. So, you know, this game is also targeting people who haven't played it before. So it's not just going to be people who played it before picking it up. For a lot of people, it's going to be a brand new game.
And also, I said that, you know, he made the quote earlier on his tweet, but he said if you buy the PS3 version, it's $30, and that you buying the Left Behind DLC is $15 more, so you'd be paying $45. For $5 more, you're getting all the DLC plus high-res graphics more than what the PS3 version was. That is fair. I don't understand. I mean, I don't want to say this because I know what Alex is going to jump down my throat about my $60 comment again, but I would have no problem paying $60 for this game because of the fact that I'm getting the game, I'm getting the DLC, and I'm paying it to support my developer that says, you know what? Thank you for putting all the time in to make a PS4 version of this game. I have no problem with this at all.
Yeah, I mean, like we had, as we talked about, alluded to it earlier before in the show, the upgrade for Assassin's Creed 4, because, you know, it was right on the cusp of the PlayStation 4 coming out. So it's like, okay, well, people can't get it. the PlayStation 4 right away. So if they buy the PlayStation 3 version of Assassin's Creed 4 because they don't want to wait to play it, they can always have the upgrade. It's not like, you know, you can't go out and buy a PlayStation 4 right now. You know, maybe some people are waiting for more games to come out, or maybe, you know, some people don't have as much money, but it's not like we're on just the edge of a new console release anymore.
But the one thing that Ubisoft was wrong about that was it was great that they offered the upgrade for $10. But the bad thing that they did was you couldn't upgrade, you couldn't transfer your save file. So if you got halfway through the game on the PS3 and then, okay, the PS4 version's out, I'm going to finish it on the 4. No, you had to start all over again.
Damn.
Well, that's true, but didn't Assassin's Creed come out after the PlayStation 4 came out?
No, Black Flag was out before the 4 came out.
Okay, I think it might have been a week or two then, because I think Assassin's Creed normally comes out the end of October, and the PlayStation 4 launched in the second week of November.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it was really close.
Yeah, I mean, you want to go back, when they, I think it was the 3DS or the 2DS, it came out at a price point, and then like, I think it was like a month or two later, they dropped the price by $50, and they, to compensate, they gave everybody free games and whatnot, because to me, that's bullshit. But it also started a slippery slope, because now, you know, let's say The Last of Us did come out, and it was $30. That, everybody's gonna go, well, you know what? Look what Naughty Dog did. They came out with their remastered version for $30. Why can't you do it? And then people will be bitching about that. So, it starts a slippery slope.
It essentially sets a precedent where people expect to be able to get games for that cheap.
Yeah, I don't want to get political here, but you look at like court cases and stuff like that. You know, when people sue people for things, you know, years ago, if a lady burned herself with coffee from McDonald's, everybody thought the lady was out of her mind and she was going to win the lawsuit.
She got millions of dollars.
Right, but now because of that, some idiot can go burn himself with Burger King coffee and go, you know what? Here's the precedent that, you know, it was too hot. And, you know, that's how court cases are won, by saying, listen, this judge in this state awarded this woman for this reason. My client suffered the exact same situation. You need to award him. And judges are like, well, okay, it's happened before. I guess I got to do it again.
Yeah, I obviously our court system is based on common law, so we rely heavily on precedent and what came before it to make decisions. So yeah, it definitely Naughty Dog setting it at like say $30 would definitely give people ammo and strengthen their argument for when another developer came out with a higher priced. If say Naughty Dog did like Uncharted 4 Remastered Edition, they could say, well, okay, well, why is this much more now? So I think you make a good point there.
All right, that's gonna bring us to the end of our topics. Alex, I think you have some trophies and tips.
Okay, folks, so the Borderlands, if you're still playing through it, and you go through, or you haven't beaten the Mad Moxie's Underdome yet, got a little tip here to get through it a little faster. So as you know, or maybe you don't, you have to go through all three of the larger tournaments. Each larger tournament, you have to beat it. There are 20 rounds with 5 waves each, so it's essentially 100 rounds you got to go through of enemies. Gets a little monotonous, not really that fun. Terrible DLC, so you kind of want to get through it faster. There's a glitch to get through each big tournament in half the time. Essentially, you have to go through 10 rounds instead of 20. So, if I'm not really clear on this, there is a video on YouTube. You kind of got to go type in Moxie's Underdome glitch or level skip glitch, and it'll come up. But essentially, what you want to do is whenever a boss wave comes up, you want to get right up against the curtain as much as you can. And you want to shoot the boss as soon as he spawns, and you want to try to shoot him before any of his minions spawn.
So you want to kill him before the minions come up.
Yes, so you want to kill him as quickly as you can, and this is where Tricky gave me the hack gun, which kills him basically one shot. And that really helps out. And what will happen is, once you kill the boss, the curtains will close. The minions will still be alive, but the curtains will close. So the minions will still come after you, but once the countdown starts, the down from 10 to signify that you've beaten the round, start killing the enemies. And what I did was I left one alive. and it'll count down, it'll go to zero, and it'll show you a little screen, and it'll give you your update of how many enemies you killed during that round and how many you killed total, so it gives you your running total. After you press OK for that, kill that last enemy, and what'll happen is you've killed the boss, so you've already gone to the next round because the curtain's closed, but since there's still a minion left, the game, once you kill that minion, the game will think that you went through another round, so you'll get credit for finishing another round, so it'll take you to round two, per se, and then it'll immediately start a 10-second countdown again, because after you kill that minion, the game again thinks you finished another round, so it'll take you to round three instantly after the second 10-second countdown. So you can do that at the end of for every boss wave, so you'd be cutting out 10 rounds of fighting, essentially. And if that's, you know, it's too hard to understand, I imagine it's not easy to follow, but there is a guide on YouTube, that they, you know, people with videos showing how to do it. So, it's a good way to get through Moxie's Underdome, quicker.
Alright. With that being said.
But be careful with that, because apparently the trophies are kind of glitchy. You have to play. You can play each larger tournament, say, so you can beat one, turn off your console, and then come back to another one the next day, but you gotta make sure that you play them on the same playthrough, so when you load your character and it asks you playthrough two or playthrough one, make sure you pick the same playthrough throughout all three tournaments, and you have to use the same character, that you use to beat, the other tournament. So you have to use the same character throughout, and if you're playing in co-op, both people, to get the trophies, they have to play with the same characters throughout. So if Tricky and I were to play, if I were to play as Roland and Tricky were to play as Mordecai, we would want to play as those two characters throughout all three tournaments.
10-4. All right, we do not have a question of the week unless one of you guys have one off the top of your heads. I'm going to assume no by the silence.
Well, in a way I do, but like I said on Twitter, it might be a thing of adding on to a PG spoilers. It might be like a DLC pack to our original trophy chumping argument. So, I mean,
I could throw it out. No, I know what you're talking about.
You know where I'm going.
Yeah, we're going to do a spoiler show on that. Because I think that's a good topic to talk about. With that being said, let's get into our housekeeping. Just be aware, one of you guys has to be Donnie this week.
No, housekeeping.
ProvenGamer.com is looking for some staff members. We're looking for some writers, podcasters, video editors, news reporters, and generalized help for the site. Being that Donnie's not here, apparently we need a rump shaker yet again.
Well, really? You're just gonna diss Alex, me like that?
Well,
set him straight.
I still don't have a video of you rump shaking, Alex. I don't know your qualifications.
Well, really? Do you want me to send in some?
Yeah, I need to see your skills.
Rump. He wants to see your rump.
If you're interested
I'm
in
a
applying,
I'm a little dismayed by that, but okay, I'll go with it. Maybe I'll send it to Yield.
If you're interested,
don't send it to me. I don't want to see your rump shaking.
If you're interested,
I can
apply.
Say rump shaking is done.
It's like hummingbird wings.
If you're interested in joining the site, please go to the website on the top right of the page. Click on the Help Wanted tab and fill out the application, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. While you're on the website, be sure to read all of our articles and check out all of our videos. Speaking of our videos, you can find us on YouTube by doing a search for Official Proving Gamer and check out all of our videos there. Lately, YouTube has been giving me a hard time because of copyright material and stuff like that. All YouTube's new rules, so our videos haven't been going up, so I'm going to have to kick some ass in that department. If you want to get a hold of us, there are several ways you can get a hold of us. Alex, without turning back towards the computer, what's our phone number?
330-PROVEN-9. 776-776-77... I don't know. I got the first three right, didn't I?
You got the first three right.
All right. It's 776-8369.
Yeah, Alex, that.
I love messing with you, Alex. You can also send us an email by sending us an email to trophyhorse@provinggamer.com. You can contact us on Twitter. You can contact the site. at Proven Gamer. You can contact the show at Trophy Horse. You can contact me at Tricky Mick. You can contact Yield at I Yield to No One. And you can contact Alex at Saundersaurus Rex.
And you can contact Donnie at Yuntwist.
And you can also apparently contact us all, our aliases at Chumpy Tricky, Chumpy Yield, Chumpy Saundersaurus, and Chumpy Yuntwist.
Yeah, but don't do that. We won't be answering.
No, that's not until...
That's not us, yeah, so we're not replying.
Because I know Alex hit no on the don't send information. I hit no, and I'm pretty sure Donnie did too.
Although they did tweet out, whoever has them, they did tweet out after you guys hit no. So apparently the accounts are active.
They're active bullshit is what they are.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you can also contact us on Facebook. We know you're on Facebook. Even Yield's on Facebook. Yield, just say you're on Facebook.
He just doesn't use it that much.
I Yield page.
I am on Facebook. I just don't use it.
All right.
I just like other people's statuses.
You can find us on Facebook by doing a search for Proven Gamer, and please hit that like button. If you listen to the show, we thank you very much, but we also have another podcast, PG Spoilers, in which Yield and I are going to sit down and try to figure out a day and a time to do the show on his holding his question of the week that he's holding back for the show. Alex, you're going to have to get in on that show too. We might have to leave Donnie out of this because Donnie's a little too opinionated.
No. Isn't that what makes us spoilers good?
No, we're
going
to get Donnie in on it too.
Say again?
No, it's more of a DLC to a previous conversation. It's more of a possibly an amendment or an addition to a previous spoiler that we had that adds to regulations.
You got to look at it like this: our trophy chumping PG spoilers is our Bill of Rights. We might have to have an amendment to it. The first one.
Yes. Because a question was raised.
So we're going to have to get together and convene and maybe bring it to the Supreme Court for a ruling. With that being said, if you listen to these shows, you can listen to us on iTunes and on Stitcher. If you leave, no matter how you listen to us, please stop by, leave a rating, preferably 5 stars. Let Donnie know that he needs to show up to record and edit this podcast properly. With all that being said, I think it's time for our sponsors. All right. Okay, the goddess has chosen the person. Alex, who are we sponsored by?
Amazon!
Fairly decent. Yes,
That's far better than what I could do.
Yes, we are sponsored by Amazon. If you could stop by the website first, click on the Amazon link, and continue to normal shopping. Doesn't cost you anything extra and does help out the site tremendously. Speaking of helping out the site, we also have a GoFundMe. We are currently trying to raise money to get new podcast equipment. As you heard through the episode several times, Yield has moved his microphone on his beard several times. We've also here the computer laptop that I have sent him for podcasting, which he's currently using. It has a little bit of an aircraft carrier problem. So,
can you still hear that even though I've moved the mic away from the fan?
No, we have not heard it yet, but then also we do not have your Audacity yet, so we don't know if it picked up on the Audacity yet.
Oh, okay. Well, if it did, you'll have to let me know.
With all that being said, if you could go to GoFundMe.com/ProvenGamer, and leave a donation. We don't really expect you guys to donate, but we would really appreciate if you guys could help, because we all poor folk, and we can use some new equipment. So go check that out. There are different levels of donations. If anybody hits the highest donation, which is our platinum level, apparently I have to go in front of Madison Square Garden wearing an LA Kings jersey and hopefully not get shot in the process. With all that being said, let's do our shout-outs. Yield, let's start with you.
Okie dokie, let's see here. I gotta get my little handy-dandy notebook out. I give a shout-out to NMRain for getting his Metal Gear Solid 4 Platinum. a shout out to Prepare to Die Earthscum for his platinum in Minecraft. Jurassic Parky for hooking up the Brain 76 with a Destiny beta code. A shout out for kind of for Chain Gun Poe. He got a very nice compliment on a review of a game that he did about basically instead of just being how anal how games are or what was wrong with it, he did it about how the games were fun, which is why we all play games. And then a shout out to the cast, the crew, and the agents of X-Men Days of Futures Past. I saw it a few weeks ago, and I really liked how no matter how small of a role said person had in the movie, they were able to get everybody back for this combined movie. And in today's Hollywood, that's kind of hard to do. Everyone's got an ego. Everybody wants top billing. And it was really nice that they got everybody back to reprise their role, redo their roles. And so that was cool.
I still think they should have done more with Rogue throughout that entire movie series. And that includes the first three X-Men movies.
I agree. I would like to see more Gambit than what I saw in X-Men or Wolverine.
The fact of the matter is the real star of those movies that anybody really gave a shit about, and I'm not talking about the actor, I'm talking about the character, was Wolverine. Wolverine by far is the most popular mutant ever.
Yes. Although Deadpool was pretty cool. I mean, not in X-Men Origins. They effed him all up.
Was he in Days of Future Past?
No.
Okay.
No, but I would like to see Ryan Reynolds reprise that role, just not at the way that they ended X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Okay.
Which Ryan Reynolds has said he would love to do a Deadpool movie.
I would love to see him as a Deadpool movie. I think he's got the personality for it.
Oh yeah, that little bit of him in the very beginning of Wolverine, I'm like, yeah. Not that I read a lot of comics, but I'm like, that is an awesome Deadpool.
Fred has a new tattoo. I'm concerned.
Who has a new tattoo, Fred?
Yeah, remember the blob? He got the tattoo of the girl he just started seeing the night before. He goes, Fred has a new tattoo. I'm concerned. You'll have to watch the movie again. It's when they're on the airplane. Okay. And he's sharpening his katanas, and he's sitting across from Saber Wolf, and they're starting to tension, and then he just turns and changes the subject real quick to ease the tension.
You know, Saber Wolf is a Killer Instinct character.
What'd I say?
You said Saber Wolf.
Oh, Saber Tooth. Saber Tooth.
Which, by the way, Liev Schreiber, I like him a lot.
Good. He did a good job of that role.
Yeah, he did.
Yes.
Okay, Alex, your shout-outs, buddy.
So, I'll keep it minimal this week. As always, I want to thank the fans for listening because you guys are awesome, and thank you for all the love you give us. And I guess I just want to give a shout out to Donnie since he's not here, and we miss him. We need you here, Donnie. I know you're out being a good husband, but we need you back, sir. And my other shout out's gonna go to Jurassic or Jace Parky, whatever his name is now, for finally telling Tricky Mick how it actually is, calling him a chump. Hashtag Tricky is a chump.
And I want to give a shout out to I Yield to No One for actually showing up this week, even though he forced us to record late and now we're going to miss the start of the pay-per-view. Want to give a shout out to Mad Moxie for annoying Alex enough that he has to keep playing Borderlands as we record. I want to give a shout out to Donnie for missing this week. Thank you, sir. It's always a good show when you're not around. And I want to give a shout out to the goddess, who is sitting behind me on the couch, flicking Yield and Alex off with her middle finger, and neither one of them have noticed the entire show.
She says you're lying. She's basically saying you're full of shit.
Okay, hold on a second. Here she comes.
First of all, guys, that is not true.
We know.
I was flicking him off, not you guys.
That's kind of what I figured. Right.
Alright.
Wait, what is he drinking over here? Look at this.
He's drinking a 40.
Who said you could be drinking on the job?
I am.
Wait, what are you talking about? I've been drinking this entire time.
Tricky is quite a challenging person, and it takes a lot of alcohol
to
handle
him. Is a Bengals cup?
Yeah, she can't hear any of that until the show gets released. But with that being said, if there's nothing else, you can't see me. Happy trophy hunting.
Later.
Peace out.
Check it.
Couldn't go 1 week without that, huh?
Check it. You done made it through another one.
Replay.
Or download another one.
To your hordo.
Or you can go and do a tricky man and
chop it.
However you do it. Just look at the ray and leave a comment. And thanks again. Listen to the show. Now it's time for me to go. Peace out to another episode.